some for several weeks been going through the Ten Commandments in this service, and I have felt several months ago, this was something that was on my mind, on my heart, that I felt like that in light of the fact that there are so many changes going on in our world, and the truth is so blurred by society, by the culture, that we need to get back to the basics, to the foundational truths. So we've gone through these Ten Commandments week after week after week, and I'm just trusting that the Lord will speak to us, help us to see some of these basic things that we all know, but in some areas may not be applying them to our lives. And we need to. It's the Word of God that makes the difference in all of our lives. Today, Exodus 20 and verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. I think that one of the things that the Ten Commandments do, many people look at them as negatives. All the thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do. But actually, with every negative, there's always the positive element to it as well. Amen. And that's really the lesson that needs to be learned when we talk about not committing adultery. The positive side is that it's God's will that we live a morally pure life. And all of the commandments have that positive message as well, that God is able to speak to us. And so really the boundaries that are placed around our lives are healthy. They're good for us. Anything that God wants to protect us from, He does that because He wants to bless our life. He wants to preserve us for blessing so that we can enjoy the things that God has for us. And so we don't view the commandments as something that's just restraint, something that's just a negative message, but we understand that the commandments are for our good, and they provide a stability to our world, to our life, and even to the entire culture. And the fact that the commandments are ignored, have been turned away from, is evident in the direction of our nation. And it should concern all Christians, should be concerned about this, and should certainly be praying that America would return back to the Word of the Lord. Early settlements in America all established laws based upon those commandments. And our system of government, our basic laws in our nation, foundationally all sprung up out of these commandments and other principles of the Word of God. And so they affect all of our life. And not for evil, but for good. His laws are not grievous. Amen. They're good. They're a blessing to us. They provide for us wonderful things. Really, the commandment today, not to bear false witness, or not to be a person who involves in any way to tell or to speak things that are not true. A commandment against lying. This is really basic to any civilization, any relationship. A marriage is not going to last very long if one or the other begins to involve themselves in lying to each other. If you begin lying to one another, then you're going to tear down the whole foundation of the marriage and of the home. The same is true in any relationship, whether it be government relationships or all of civilization. It's all built, and it is strong when there is trust. But when there is not trust, then there is weakening. A business is weak whenever there's no trust among employees and employers. Whenever someone speaks and gives the truth that employers and employees understand that they can communicate and they can be successful based upon the fact that they are telling the truth and that there's a mutual trust. Every organization, every government, it's true in the church, it's true in schools, it's true in homes and families and marriages. If there is no trust, then that entity begins to disintegrate. Amen. So this commandment really affirms again the power of your speech, the power of the tongue, and that the Bible says that there is life and death in the power of the tongue. Whenever you speak, you can either give life, or by your words, you can give death. All in the power of the tongue. Now, whoever said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, that person was nuts. That's just not the truth. They didn't know what they were talking about, because we all know that words are powerful. Words can do great damage. Words have done great damage to lives, to families, and even to the kingdom of God. Those that involve themselves in telling lies and living lies do great, great damage. Today we have a whole new realm of possibility for lies, because now we have internet and social media and all these various avenues that provide for a person to speak or to verbalize. And let me just give you just a little word of advice for what it's worth here today. That is, don't get on social media and editorialize. Don't get on social media with some long sermonizing. Just don't do it. I don't exercise in that. It's just not a good thing. Your words might come back to get you. Be careful what you say. When you use social media, it's instant. It's online instantly. It's constant. It's always there. When you use it, it's global. It's everywhere. And many times, it's permanent. It can't be retracted. And so, it is a powerful medium. It can be used for good, but sad to say, much of the time, it is not. And people can basically say what they want to say, whether it's the truth or not. And sad to say, there's a lot of false witnessing, a lot of false testimony and lying. But that's the culture we live in today. We've learned, and a whole generation has grown up thinking that lying is okay. We have had sitting presidents who have stared right into cameras and have lied and perjured themselves. And at least two presidents that I know of have done that, and each one of them have been able to get immunity as soon as they left office, and so they never really paid a price or a penalty. But let me tell you, there's a tremendous price that's been paid by this nation, because those that are in leadership, they exert great influence and great power, and when they do something like that in such a public way and perjure themselves before the entire world, there's great power, especially when there seems to be no punishment for doing wrong. There's an old man. Now, there's a lot of versions of this story, so I can't really say that this story is actually a true account. So I'm going to use this as this is just an illustration today. I want to be careful to tell the truth today. An old man on his deathbed, another man comes in to him, and he wants to get things cleared up with this man that's dying. And so he says, I'm sorry, but I told some lies on you, and I just wanted to come and apologize to you and get this all cleared up between us. The old man said, well, you know, I forgive you for what you said, but I just want to ask you to do one thing. And he said, okay, what? He said, take this pillow, open it up, and go over to that window and put all the feathers in this pillow out the window and let them blow away. So the old man did it. He walked over to the window and opened it up, and all of the feathers just blew away, and he went back to the old man lying on the bed and said, okay, I did it. Now what? And the old man says, now go pick them all up. And that's really what happens whenever we bear false witness, whenever we lie. You can try to get forgiveness. You can try to retract. But many times the damage has already been done. And it's very difficult to retract it, very difficult to come back and to change. When you stand in a court of law, and I'm grateful that in many courts, there are some liberal judges that don't allow it anymore. They just have you to just stand up and raise your right hand and just swear. But in many courts, most courts still in our country, you put your hand on the Bible and you raise your right hand and you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that affirms that you are going to speak the truth. You are going to be a truthful witness. So help me God, I'm going to tell the truth. Now it's important that we be as Christians a people of the truth, because of the serious attitude that God has toward lying. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:16, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." Two out of the seven things listed here in Proverbs that God hates have to do with lying. I think that just the thought that God hates anything ought to cause us to pay attention. And we know that God, there are things that God hates, and out of that list, two of them have to do with liars, those that speak lies, those that have a lying tongue. You know, it's not even when we understand how different that God is compared to man, and how we're frail and we're weak, and we have a natural born tendency to do wrong. But that's not true of God. It's completely contrary to his nature. Truth is who he is. I am the way, the truth. Jesus Christ was the embodiment of truth. There's nothing, no circumstance, nothing that can ever cause him to ever veer away from the truth. That's who he is. That's what he declares. And nothing will ever change that. He is the truth. And that's just another one of the titles of our Lord. And he's the embodiment of truth. That's his nature. Titus 1 and 2. "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." God that cannot lie. It's not in his nature. It's not in his capabilities. If you want to use that sometime and say there are some things that God cannot do, and one of them is he cannot lie. It's not in his nature to lie. He cannot. Numbers 23 and verse 19, "God is not a man that he should lie." Now that verse shows us, it reaffirms the fact that God can't lie, doesn't lie, that he only speaks the truth. And it also gives the understanding that men do lie. And men are literally born with the nature to die. "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall not he do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" It's not in his nature to lie. Every word that comes forth from the Lord is the truth. "Thy word is true," the psalmist said. "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." But man's nature is to lie. Amen? Man's nature is to lie. But we need to look at what the Bible says about where that came from. John chapter 8, verse 44, it says, "You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning," broke that commandment, "and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." That's who he is. Just as truth identifies God and who God is, and that's all that contain, that truth identifies his character, so is Satan identified by his nature, and his nature is deception and lying. And every lie that is told, he's the father of it. You've been influenced by that satanic nature to lie and to deceive. That's what the scripture says. You're of your father, the devil. He is a liar. He is the father of all lies. Proverbs 12 and 22, lying lips are an abomination to God, but they that deal truly are his delight. You can see the attitude of God toward lying. Proverbs 18 and 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, but they that loveth shall eat the fruit thereof. There it is, the power of your words, and especially the power of speaking the truth. As I said, we are all born with this sinful, Adamic nature, and we were all, sad to say, born liars. Born liars. I don't know this full story, but Marcia told me that Sister Huff found one of Brother Huff's old Bibles, and written in the flyleaf of it, you can straighten this out after church if I got this wrong. But in the flyleaf of the Bible, Arlene was 4 or 5 years old, something like that. Where you 6 years old. Don't want to tell a lie now. She was 6 years old, and Brother Huff wrote in the flyleaf of the Bible, Arlene told her first lie. Pray that she will what? Pray that she will do what? The Lord will get a hold of her heart and she'll quit lying or something like that. And that's in the flyleaf of an old Bible of Brother Huff's when she was 6 years old. So let's pray that Arlene will quit lying after all these years. Psalm 58 and 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. It's almost like little babies. As soon as they learn to talk, they learn how to change the truth. Exaggerate it. Change it to their advantage. Little children, our little grandson. I actually asked Marcia, I sent her a text early this morning, and I said, can you remember one of the stories about the grandkids telling lies? And she wrote back real quick and said, our grandkids don't tell lies. And I thought, yeah, but grandmas do. But actually, they do, don't they? Our little children, our little grandchildren, they are deceptive. They tell lies. And sometimes they're very amazing at their ability to come up with wild and crazy stories. The church where our daughter and son-in-law serve as pastors out in New Mexico is a big church, 2,000 people in that church. And they have, when they have special events, they have a golf cart where they use it to bring people from parking lots into the building. Well, our youngest, or not our youngest anymore, one of our grandbabies, he's 4 years old when he did this. He told the person in charge of the golf cart that his dad wanted the keys. My dad wants the keys. He needs the keys to the golf cart. Well, his dad didn't need the keys. Asher, at 4 years old, wanted the keys. And the next thing they knew, he's driving around the parking lot in the golf cart. Little children are speaking lies when they are very, very young. Jeremiah says, Jeremiah 17 and 9. I don't have all these scriptures given to Brother Darrell, sorry. But some of these you'll just have to look up. Jeremiah 17 and 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our nature is to do wrong. Our nature is to speak lies. And sad to say, that's the direction of the world. The culture that we live in right now is, to them, they define truth as whatever you want it to be. Truth is what you believe that it is. It was Lenin who said, if you tell a lie enough times, it will eventually become the truth. That's what the world thinks. If you just tell an untruth over and over and over again, you will eventually convince yourself and everyone else that it's not the truth. But we have to understand that whenever people lie, whenever you have told lies, anyone that tells lies, they always have a motive. They want to protect themselves or better themselves or advantage themselves in some way. And so they will stretch or change the truth. I remember when I was a little kid, my mom called it telling stories. She didn't call it a lie. She probably, it sounded more powerful, I guess, to say lie. But mom would say stuff like, don't tell me a story. Because little kids have an ability to come up with some crazy, wild explanation, some story. And she would say, don't tell stories. Really, it doesn't make any difference what you call it. No matter what the lie is, it still is an offense to God and to the things of God. A God-centered world that we should live in as Christians, that should be focused upon God and pleasing God. We live the truth and speak the truth. That's the kind of life that Christians need to be living. If you're self-centered, man-centered, then you're going to tell things to please yourself. Tell things to advantage yourself. And that's what people do whenever they tell lies. A lie is just a false statement with the deliberate intent to deceive. You tell it to advantage yourself, to make yourself look better. A lot of different ways that you can do that. You can do it on a resume. If you've ever put together a resume to present on a job, you can always make it sound a lot better than it is. You can do that. You can lie on your taxes. That's something I didn't get to last week when I was going through stealing. I ran out of time. I didn't get to taxes, and I didn't get to tithing. Two very important things. Will a man rob God? And so that'll have to be some other time. But people do it in politics. We're living in such a sad day now that there are certain professions that are associated with lying. That's the first thing that people think of. You say, oh, they're like a politician. He lies like a politician. And then another class is car salesmen. Bless their hearts. I know there's some good ones, but apparently there's a lot of deceptive ones because they'll say, well, he lies like a car salesman. Now, if it ever, when it gets to the time, and we're living in such a time now, that even people in ministry are so distrusted that people are associating deception with the ministry and with preachers of the gospel. God, help us to not get to such a place in our world. People lie to advantage themselves. They do it in politics. They do it in a lot of different forums. This week in the election, the state of Virginia, in the Senate race, they said that one of the candidates was 19% behind in the polls. All the polls, the average of the polls said he was 19% behind the other candidate. Whenever the election came in, he wasn't 19% behind. It ended up that he lost it by 12,000 votes with over 2 million votes cast. It was like 4.4% was the difference. Somewhere along the line, some pollsters were stretching things, changing things. I don't know, maybe paid off by someone. I don't know. Not telling the truth, not accurate in the way that they were presenting themselves. But we're not surprised when that goes on out there in the world. How about with advertising? It's unbelievable. They will say anything to sell their product. And advertising, people are gullible and just believe these false reports. Well, it said that if you take this for 2 weeks, you'll lose 20 pounds. I'm going to do it. It's a good deal. It just costs $20, and I'm going to lose 20 pounds if I just take this for 2 weeks. Come on now. Remember, if it's too good to be true, it is not true. And don't believe it. Don't be gullible. Christians are to be lovers of the truth. One of the evidence that a person has been truly born again is they love the Word of God, they love the truth, and their life begins to be transformed by the truth of God's Word. We begin to live by the truth. We love the truth. We're saved by the truth. The truth has purchased freedom for us, and now we want to live and please God. And the only way we can do that is live by the truth of God's Word. And you can't do that if you're not a student of the Bible. You've got to know what the Bible says. New Christians are often hungry. They're reading the Bible. They're students of the Bible. They want to know more. Want to know more about the truth, because they want to align their lives to the truth of God's Word. Amen. We want to live by the truth. 2 Corinthians 1:18, it says, but as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. The Apostle Paul is saying, you know, I'm not sending out a mixed message. Sometimes to this group it's yes, and to this group it's no, and sometimes it's yea, sometimes it's nay. No. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, he was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea. In him, amen, and to the glory of God by us. All the promises of God are yes. It's the truth. Believe it. Take it as the truth of God's word. Amen. The only truth in this world is from God's book right here. The word of the Lord. This is the truth. Live your life by the Bible. Live your life. Every area of your life, you will find the counsel of the Lord to reveal truth to you, to know how that you might be able to live. As I said, a lot of people will, I told you that my mom, she calls it telling stories when we were little kids. Some use the term white lies, somehow to make it look a little bit better. Sometimes it's exaggerating the truth. Good Christian people sometimes want to speak an exaggerated message. I'm not sure that they're really prayed through if they're going to do that. Stretching the truth, twisting the truth, gossip, talebearers, slanderers, flatterers, all of these are words that are being spoken that are not exactly the truth. A flatterer speaks an insincere and excessive message of praise to someone, and they do that because they want an advantage in some way. They wanted an advantage. Remember in the Bible, Absalom, David's son, what he really wanted was to sit on David's throne. And the only way he could do that was he stood at the gate, and as people would come in, he would give counsel to them. Basically, what he did was he told them what they wanted to hear. And he used flattery and talked to them about how good they were and how wonderful they were and how that he could help them if they would just give him a chance. And that's basically what happened. Standing at the gate, he'd greet them with a kiss and tell them all the things that they wanted to hear. His motive was not for their good. His motive was for his good, to advantage himself. And many times, flatterers are that way. Now, you can distinguish between a flatterer and a real encourager, because you need those in the church too. An encourager doesn't have a selfish motive. A real encourager is genuine in their words to help you, to encourage you. Kind words, words that are positive, that lift you up, that help you. And we all need to hear those kind of words, don't we? Amen. And they're powerful, and they can help you. They can strengthen you. They can encourage you. And so that has to be distinguished from flattery. And the way that you distinguish it is an encourager is not doing it for themselves. They're sincere in their desire to help you with their words. But a flatterer, they have other motives. And you have to be very wise and very never easily deceived. To know the difference. I think that's an important thing too we need to just talk about just for a minute here, because in a world where lies are going on all around us and the truth is not being told, the church needs to be a safe haven where we know you're going to hear the truth and people are going to tell the truth one to another. You're going to hear honesty, sincerity. It's going to be straightforward. It's going to be the truth with love, but you're going to know exactly what the truth is. Amen. This needs to be a place of truth. Amen. Sometimes the truth offends people. Sometimes the people don't want to hear the truth. And they might get up and walk away from that service and say, I never want to ever go to that church again. And all that was ever spoken was just the truth. Now, I understand that it's possible to speak the truth with a bad attitude, and they never hear the truth. All they hear is your attitude. So you have to speak the truth, as the Bible says, in love. You speak the truth in love, and they get the message of truth, and they also get your sincerity, and your love for them comes through powerfully as well. Amen. The Bible says, let no man deceive you. No changing of the truth, twisting of the truth. Actually, deception takes place most of the time when just one little area is changed. Most of the cults have many, many good things about them, but they change a few little areas and they change the truth into a lie. And that makes it much more, causes a person, you're more susceptible and more easily deceived because you see all the good. You hear people saying, oh, but in Mormonism, there's such a wonderful family organization. And they are. And they promote family, and they promote a lot of other things that are not biblical as well. Thus, it's deceptive. The same thing is true of many other cults and religions, that they insert things that are not the truth, which makes it so deceptive. What do we do about the deceptiveness of the age that we live in? First of all, as Christians, we don't need to be easily convinced or persuaded to believe anything. Amen? What should we do? If the preacher preaches something and you say, I don't know about that. I don't feel like that's really the truth. What do? You get in the Word of God. You get in the Word of God. You search the Scriptures as the Bereans did. They were more noble. They searched the Scriptures to see whether or not those things were really true. And it can be confirmed by your own examination of the Word of God. Amen. Know the truth. Knowing the truth is the best way to protect yourself from the deception and the lies of this age that we're living in right now. What about the gift of discernment? Is that a gift? Well, not really. The gift there that's in Corinthians is the gift of discerning of spirits. It's not just a gift of discernment. It's discerning of spirits. It's a spiritual gift. It's a God-given Holy Spirit gift that causes you to be able to discern what spirit that person is of. Amen. And hopefully, as you are filled with the Spirit and you ask the Lord to give you, and that gift needs to be actively working in the church, in the body of Christ, there needs to be this gift of discerning of spirits. I'm not saying the gift of suspicion. I'm talking about the gift of discerning of spirits, that whereby you're able to discern what spirit they are of. Since we know that Satan is the father of lies, that we should be able to distinguish a lie and discern a lie and what spirit is motivating that lie. Amen. Praise God.
We need to be lovers of the truth. And I know I'm going to run out of time again today, and I'm sorry. We have to be lovers of the truth. As you love the truth, then you prepare yourself, you equip yourself to know what is really, really true in this age. I'm telling you, we're living in such a confusing age. Even in the church, among Christians, it's so confusing. Every church has a different set of values, a different set of ideas about what they think is important or not important. It's a confusing and a difficult age. That's why that is believers. Individually, all of us must be lovers of the truth. Amen. And make sure that we make our judgments based upon the Word of God. Philippians 4 and 8, or 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. The only thing that it will stop the influence of this strong delusion in these last days is to be a lover of the truth. It says that they would not receive the love of the truth. As we love the truth, it equips us, it empowers us to be able to understand and to discern the things that are not true. But because people reject the love of the truth,
God sends strong delusion that they should believe a lie, and that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Christians are people of the truth. Amen. We love the truth. And if someone comes to you and points out some area of your life that's not right, then be grateful. Don't get angry at someone, but instead, if they have literally shown you from God's word areas of your life where you need to align to the truth, be grateful that God has placed that person in your life. Love the truth. Learn the truth of God's word. Philippians 4 and 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. That's what it starts off with. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue. If there be any praise. Think on these things. Be a lover of the truth. And learn the truth. Be a student of God's word. Amen. And then last, and I'll close with this, live by the truth. One of the ways that's the most sad ways that this whole message is evident in our world today is that people live a lie. They live a lie. That they are making a profession, but there's no reality to their relationship with Jesus Christ. They say, I'm a Christian, but there's no evidence that their life has been changed by walking with Jesus Christ, by following the truth. And so they're not living the truth. We're to speak the truth, but we're also to live the truth. Philippians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things which is the head, even Christ. And then Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Our life needs to be a demonstration of the truth. That our profession, what we profess to be, that is lived out in our daily life, every day, that we are living the truth and we're telling the truth. Amen. If you get into the habit of telling things that are not true, it will become just that. It will become normal to you. It becomes normal in your life. You don't even realize that you're telling things that are not true. If you repeat it enough, it doesn't become true. But if you keep repeating it, you forget really what is truth as you tell things that are untrue again and again and again and again. And may the Lord convict us and deal with us about those areas of our life where we have allowed untruths to become a part of our life. And we repeat those and we speak those as if they were the truth. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have given to us truth and the truth can set us free. I pray, Lord, for everyone in this service that's not a Christian, Lord, that they would recognize today that it's only through the saving power of the gospel, Lord, that their life is going to be changed. I pray, Lord, that there would be those in this place that would determine in their heart that they want to follow the truth. They want to be obedient to the truth. They want to live their life according to truth. Hallelujah. Lord, do a work in this service and among everyone that's here today, we pray. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.